Judson reminded me a little bit of Brandon. I was wondering if he got it out of the bag before he dug in. Like father, like son, amen. We ought to be very thankful on this Veterans Day weekend for all of the men and the women who have served in our armed forces. Because, friends, they fought for the very freedoms our founding fathers fought for. They fought for liberty. They fought for the ideal that all men are created equal and all men have the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. We think about our veterans, we think about the wars down through the generations. There have been those who gave all. They paid the ultimate price. So that we can be here this morning. And I pray that you will never take this for granted. That we can be here this morning. To worship freely the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this church today. And I say to you, friends, there was a time in America when the Christian church believed in liberty so strongly that patriot preachers were willing to stand in their pulpits and boldly declare and boldly proclaim the biblical principles of liberty and proper government. There was a time in America when patriot preachers and their congregations would denounce perceived tyrants in tyranny. There was a time in America when many of these patriot preachers would lead their congregations off to the battlefield to defeat tyranny and to defend liberty. There was a time in America when we understood the significance of patriot preachers and their congregations that they played in securing our independence from Great Britain. Obviously, over two centuries of inventions, innovation, and learning have created a very different world from the one they knew. But do you realize it was during that time that the Constitution of the United States was written? When the framers and the founding fathers of these United States declared that we would be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, under Almighty God. Our great nation fought a civil war because we understood that slavery was wrong. We understood we needed to abolish slavery because it denied the truth that all men are created equal. Americans, veterans have fought in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm to protect these inalienable rights. We fought against terrorists and tyranny the world over because freedom is not a given. It is something that must continually be fought for. And our veterans have understood that freedom comes with a price. I say to you that there was a time in America when the majority of people of this nation believed that these inalienable rights came to America from the hand of Almighty God. There was a time in America when the majority of Americans believed the Bible to be God's inerrant message to man, and because of that belief, they understood Christians had the responsibility to understand the Scriptures, to obey the Scriptures, and defend the principles of God, including human liberty. They believed a reasonable love for one's country and one's countrymen was a good thing. But that time, as we look across the landscape of America today, you'd have to be blind not to know that it appears as if America is fading fast. And it will fade fast unless we Christians take up our cross and fight for these inalienable rights and our Constitution. I wonder, friends, would our veterans, as we think about this weekend, as we think about the men and the women who have given so much for their love of their country and our freedom, I wonder if those who fought in all of these wars, would they even recognize America today? The patriot preachers of the 18th century were correct when they spoke out against British tyranny. They believed they were right to defend their inalienable rights. Today, the philosophical, political left labels Christians calling for repentance and a return to God, white Christian nationalists. If they mean by that we are Caucasian, that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in America, and we love our liberty, we love our state, we love our country, and we love our God, then we are guilty as charged. Why is it that the left uses labels like Christian nationalist or white Christian nationalist for people who love their country, love God, love their liberty, and wish that we could get back to being one nation under God? Well, I will tell you, the reason they do it is to shame us, to silence us. They want to silence anyone who dares to hold an opinion contrary to theirs, especially if that person is a Caucasian Christian who loves his or her country. The truth is, the left is against anything biblical, anything Christian, anything conservative. It amazes me. They appear to possess an almost unnatural and unexplainable hatred for anyone who mentions the name of God or has the audacity to suggest that Christian principles played a role in the founding of our nation. What's worse is that they don't want the Christian principles anywhere to have any influence over any segment of our society today. Is there anything wrong, I ask you, is there anything wrong with loving one's God? Is there anything wrong with loving one's country? Is there anything wrong with loving one's ancestry? The veterans who fought for our freedoms, the very fact that they fought, their example says no, there's nothing wrong with it. They fought because they loved their country. They fought for me. They fought to protect you. They fought to protect me. They fought to protect our freedoms. They fought to protect our right to serve the Lord our God, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and the right to love our neighbor as ourselves. They fought for our nation and the ideals that our nation was founded upon. They bravely fought so that we could remain free. They fought because they believed the cause of America was worth fighting for, because the cause of America is the cause of Almighty God. It was founded on the Word of God. They fought because the concept of nation ultimately finds its source in God. The Bible teaches, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible teaches righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And what's more, the Bible is filled with story after story of believers who love their nation, who love their countrymen, and who fought for it. Be finding in your Bibles this morning, James chapter 4, one verse this morning, verse 17. And if you are able, would you please rise as we honor God with the reading of His holy word of instruction for us. If you're there, say amen. And I pray that you bring a Bible to church. Oh, I long for the days when every person brought a Bible to church. Wouldn't it be great if we're carrying our Bibles like we ought to? Hallelujah, it is the sword of God. And the Bible says this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him
it is sin. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the immense privilege of being in your church on this Veterans Day weekend. We thank you that in the mystery of your providence and your purposes, you have brought us together to remember all those who have fought for our liberty. Help us, Lord, to think deeply about our nation and to think deeply about the truth we have just read from your word. Oh, Father, we humbly ask for your Holy Spirit's enablement to apply it to our lives and to establish us in our faith. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, to our waiting hearts this morning. Come, we pray, awaken us and light a fire under us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. You know what I think about this verse? I think it would be awfully hard to imagine and put this verse into practice if we are unmotivated as God's people to make our nation a better place. We are here today, again, freely worshiping because of the veterans who have fought the good fight of faith. And while we are in the Middle East at the present moment and we need to be there defending Israel, may I present for your thinking this morning that that is not our greatest war. Don't get me wrong, we need to be there. But the greatest threat to America's home soil are those seeking to destroy our nation from within. They are nothing more than Satan's pawns. And I say to you, it is high time. And I say to you, it is past time for Christian soldiers to get engaged in the battle. The battle for America's soul is taking place in the swamp. Isn't it sad that when people talk about Washington, D.C., the capital of our nation, the capital that should stand for Almighty God and defend the principles of the Bible, that Washington is referred to as the swamp? Oh, God help America. The battle for our nation's soul is taking place there. Yet, friend, I want to say to you, the war is in every county. It is in every state across this nation. God help us when the news of this past week declares that abortion carried the day for the Democrats in our state Senate and in our House races. Those who want to call evil good. And I ask you, can evil ever be good? God forbid. Daniel Webster, that great patriot, said on December the 22nd, 1820, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. And I say to you, there was a time in America when this nation reverenced Almighty God. And when good Christians and good Christian churches were making a difference in this country. And I think about that and, oh, I think our past should motivate us. It should have the power to stimulate us, to fill us with righteous indignation and arouse our deepest convictions about what is good and what is right and what is evil and what is wrong in the land in which we're living today. I say to you, it's well past time in America that we turn from our apostasy and we return to God. I want to share with you something that Charles Finney, that 19th century evangelist, as he spoke to his fellow pastor, said, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruit. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours in a great degree. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Politics are part of religion in such a country as this, and Christians must do their duty to God, and God will bless or curse this country according to the course Christians take. And I have said to you many times before, the greatest responsibility you have as a member of Green Valley Baptist Church is to protect the pulpit. The pulpit is not the place for funny men to come and tell you funny stories. The pulpit is not the place for men to tell you to go out and do the best you can and come back, because doing the best you can is what got us in trouble in the first place. The pulpit is the place where the Word of God is to be declared and where we are to say, "Thus saith the Lord," not "Thus saith man." If Charles Finney could look at the church today, he would see that the pulpit is greatly responsible for what is taking place in America today. Too many preachers wanted to avoid conflict. Too many preachers wanted to look the other way. Too many preachers have wanted to just tickle the ears of people. Every preacher and every Christian ought to know where to put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight. That's what the Bible says. After all, Jesus taught, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." Do you realize, friends, the church in America today looks more like the world because too many for too long have wanted to play it safe. Just don't ruffle any feathers. Just keep the water smooth. Don't stand for what is right. Worry about people instead of worry about God. Oh, is it any wonder that we find our nation today in the deplorable mess that she is in? When abortionists are selling parts of aborted babies, business owners are being forced to violate their religious convictions, all in the name of same-sex weddings, and being fined hundreds of thousands of dollars if they refuse, what would our veterans say to our federal government and the U.S. military on their policy of dishonorably discharging soldiers who refuse to allow chemicals that have not been properly tested be injected into their bodies? What would our veterans say to the FBI and the CIA who are unconstitutionally intimidating people who embrace conservative Christian principles and have the audacity to speak out about it? Do you think they would wonder, where have the values and the nation we fought for gone? Were they to discover that drag queens and transvestites are being invited to public schools and libraries to read stories such as genderqueer to our elementary school children? What would our veterans say of the federal government's redefinition and perversion of traditional marriage in Christian churches? What would our veterans think about so-called Christian churches sponsoring drag bingo events in their satanic churches? Don't you dare call a church when you are doing that which is evil. That is straight from the pit of hell. What would they say about a nation today that is openly promoting pedophilia and human trafficking? What would they think of the propagandizing of children with all types of sexual perversion beginning as young as 3 years old? What would they think of the woke left telling parents that they have no business knowing what is actually going on in their children's lives?
What would they think of public schools encouraging children to act like animals and actually putting down litter boxes in the restrooms? But more importantly, what does God think? What does God think? If His preachers and His churches are afraid to address these issues and confront Him head on. Friends, we don't have to wonder why America is in the deplorable mess that she is. Do we not know? Do you not know that the Bible teaches that the church is the conscience of a nation and its culture? Without a conscience, a nation with a culture will ultimately go dark. How dark is it going to have to get before the church of Jesus Christ will engage in the battle and we will sing, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war," because there's a war out there today. A war for that which is evil and against that which is good. And if we don't stand for the good, do you know what's going to happen? Evil's going to triumph. Evil only triumphs when good men do nothing. Jesus taught that the church is the first and the last line of defense against evil. How long are we going to remain silent in the face of these insanities and these atrocities? And do not think for one single moment that you can bury your head in the sand and hope it will go away. Thank God. In this last election, just a few days ago, there were three candidates who were running who were going to try to bring this junk into Russell County. We are always only one election away from this county turning away from God. Just as every church is one generation from being no more if we do not go out and share the gospel message. I want to say to you this morning, there's a high price. And I want to talk about the high price of washing our hands of politics. When Christian men and women fail to get involved in the government of their nation, let me ask you, who's left? The ungodly, that's who. Samuel Adams, who was critical in helping America win its independence, wrote, "Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and country." The time has come for the church to stop living out a modern version of Greek Gnosticism, separating your life into that which is secular and that which is spiritual. Are you aware, dear Christian, the Bible makes no such distinction? The Bible clearly teaches, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do not think for one moment you can be a Christian here on Sunday morning and standing up, singing and praising God, then walk out the doors and all of a sudden you're somebody else and you can go about doing worldly things, living like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, and that somehow God is pleased by that. No, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all." Do all to the glory of God. And does not our text this morning teach, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it to him it is sin"? Let's move from "there was a time in America" to "now." Now is the time in America. Friends, the Bible has a lot to say about human government. You can begin reading about it in Genesis chapter 9 when God gave it to man. God created human government after the flood, and it is therefore inconceivable that God would create human government and then tell His people, "Stay out of it." Any more than it is that God would ordain the family and then tell fathers, "Don't be involved," or mothers, "Don't be involved, stay out of it."
understand our job is not to try and change society through government. That's never been the goal. Our job is to change people with the gospel so that they can influence the government. That's why our nation needs righteous Christians, men and women in government. It's because righteous Christians have stayed out of government that we're in the deplorable mess we're in. Thomas Jefferson wrote in August of 10th of 1824, "Men by their constitutions are naturally divided into two parties." He didn't write anything new. The Bible has taught that from the very beginning. There are only two kingdoms in which men can serve. Either the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of hell. You can either serve God or you can serve the devil. And I say to you, now is the time in America to return to God, to put God in His rightful place. It is time for us to get off the throne and return God to where He belongs. Now is the time in America for Christian men and women to be involved, because it does matter who's in charge. Matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Who's in charge of America today, right now? Is it God or is it Satan? I think we can all agree there are two ideologies going on in America. We might call one the right and one the left. I think we can all agree there are two party platforms in America today, amen? Of these two ideologies, one mentions the inalienable rights 10 times, the other doesn't mention it at all. One mentions the Declaration of Independence 4 times. They speak about it, they talk about it, the other doesn't at all. One affirms the Bill of Rights, the other doesn't at all. One affirms our First Amendment rights are given to us by God, the other doesn't at all. One mentions the rights of conscience 6 times. The other never mentions it at all. One mentions the divine, holy God. The other doesn't at all. One ideology mentions Creator, and we know that God created the heaven and the earth, and God created you, and God created me. God is the giver of life. The other doesn't at all. They say we evolved. One mentions God 15 times and the LGBTQ no times. And the other mentions God 1 time and speaks 26 times in their literature about the LGBTQ. One says, "God bless America." And the other doesn't at all. One believes in the sanctity of life. They believe the sanctity of life is one of our inalienable rights and opposes euthanasia and assisted suicide. And the other doesn't. One mentions our Judeo-Christian heritage. And the other doesn't. One mentions the Bible over and over again, and the other doesn't mention the Bible at all. One mentions religious liberty, and the other doesn't. One mentions traditional biblical beliefs, and the other doesn't. One mentions Christian over and over and over again, and the other mentions Muslim over and over again. One affirms our right to pray whenever and wherever, including the public schools. The other doesn't at all. One mentions traditional marriage. The other doesn't. One man defines marriage as exclusively between one man and one woman. The other doesn't. One urges the reversal of the Supreme Court's unconstitutional redefinition of marriage, and the other doesn't. One mentions strong Christian families,
and the other doesn't. One mentions traditional family values as defined in the Bible, and the other doesn't. One makes a pledge to protect religious institutions against government control, and the other threatens our religious freedoms. Now, let me ask you, friend, which ideology honors God, and which ideology honors Satan? Friends, when Jesus taught that his church is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, he was emphasizing the critical, purifying, and illuminating agents believers can and should be to our culture. Salt retards decay, you know that. Light retards darkness, and you know that. Jesus said we are the salt and light of the world. He did not say we are the salt and light of the church. If the church does not dispense its salt and its light outside the walls of the church, the world will wallow in darkness and decay. Can I ask you, in your opinion, which world are we living in? Salt does no good if it stays in the shaker, and light is useless if it's hidden under a bushel basket. Neither are any benefit if they don't come into contact with the outside world. So as we remember back, and we think back with great hearts of thankfulness for our veterans and remember their day on this weekend, let us remember why they were so willing to fight. Let us remember that freedom is not free. It must continually be fought for. Let's remember God has called all of His children to be Christian warriors. Let's remember God expects us to do the good we know we are to do. As we remember our veterans, let's allow their courage to stimulate us, to fill us with righteous indignation. The same righteous indignation they felt against tyrants and tyranny. Let it allow to arouse our deepest convictions about what is good and what is wrong. Let's be committed to the cause of our God, to the cause of liberty, to the cause of freedom, and to the cause of bringing America back to God once again. And if God is for us, the Bible says, none can be against us. The reason we don't see America marching to God is because pastors and churches have stopped marching for God, and we need to stand up in this day. And I will tell you, as long as I have life and breath, and I hope you'd say the same, as long as you have life and breath, you will stand for that which is right, that which is godly, and that which will purify and illuminate the darkness. Because, friends, if people my age and people your age do not stand, these little children in this front row, do you think they'll stand? Leaders lead by example. And the greatest example there ever was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to go to that cross and lay down His life for you and for me, so that we would not have to walk in the darkness of this present world, but that we could live in the glorious liberty of His wonderful, wonderful, awesome light. I will tell you, the greatest job that I have as your pastor, the greatest job that you have as a member of this church, is to get our boots on, to get ready for battle, to put on the whole armor of God, and to go out and fight the good fight, that we might say as Paul did, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith. Because if we don't, do you think our children will? Do you think if we don't stand for what is right, what is good, the rest of our nation will? The battle is here. this morning I'm going to ask, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to tell you you're on the wrong side. And one day you're going to die. And you're going to go to a place called hell. Don't go there. I'm pleading with you, don't go there. You come and receive Jesus as your Savior today. I'm talking to Christians who just wanted to be comfortable. We all know what it's like. Just come to church, hear a sermon, say, "Pastor, that was a good one," go home, have our dinner, take our Baptist nap, come back for the night service, go home and say, "Oh, what wonderful Christians we are." No, sir. These are the days of battle. For too long, we have been too complacent. We always thought it was over there. It is here. We better get engaged. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you love America, you love your freedom, you love your liberty, I'm going to ask you if you'd stand, if you'd come to the altar today and just pray for your nation, pray for your country. Every great movement of God begins with prayer. Do we need a movement of God in America today? Better believe we do. Then let's not sit there and do nothing. Let us get up, get engaged, and be about our Father's business. Father God, we just thank you today. And Lord, I'm just reminded of a soldier's heart. A soldier's spirit and a soldier's soul are everything. And Christian soldiers must be committed to never compromise God's values. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as a church for the many times we have compromised the values of God. Lord, forgive us in our own personal lives for all the times we have compromised the values of God, and heal us and restore us that we might see our nation restored. Oh Lord, Christian soldiers must march with an unrelenting devotion to the standards of duty, courage, and absolute loyalty to Jesus Christ. And Father, this battle of good and evil, may we fight out of love for our God, our neighbor, our Christian liberty, and let us not give up the fight until the task is done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brother Marty, would you lead us today in song? Would you please rise? It's "Just As I Am." Just as I am, will you come today? Will you pray for your nation? Will you come and receive Christ as your Savior?